Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this time together with all of my brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for this fellowship. I ask, Lord, that you direct everything that goes on tonight. And I praise you, Father, for your glory. Lord, I'm looking for that glory. I want that glory. I need that, your glory. Lord, I need you. I need you. I love to see your face, Lord. I want to see you, Lord, and I know everybody in here does, Lord. We want revival. We need revival. Father, things are going crazy out there in the world, but we know that you've got a hand on it, Lord, and you know what's happening, and you're going to take care of business, Father. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to take down this evil, corrupt government and replace it with one that's friendly toward your people, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. It's not anything that we do other than pray and believe, Lord, that allows that to happen. You've told us to pray that. We're praying it, and we believe in, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. I hunger for you, Lord. I hunger. My heart hungers. There's a longing in my heart. It can't be fulfilled until you come and fill it up, Father. And I ask, Father, that you do that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I'm hungry for the Lord to come and give us some glory. Praise God. Amen. All right. I'm going to mute everyone. And then if you want to talk, raise your hand and unmute yourself. Okay, I did it. I don't know what I did, but I did it. All right, has anybody got any prayer requests? Everybody knows how to unmute, don't you? Okay. All right, good deal. Now, you on the telephone don't have to raise your hand. I don't think you can, but if you, let's see, Stan raised his.
Go ahead, yeah. Stan. Yeah, I could use some prayer. I have a tooth that's inflamed and needs the healing.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word, your promises in your word, Lord. You said we have authority over all the power of the enemy. This is an enemy to stand. We understand it's an enemy. We command that pain to go. We command the infection to go. We command the abscess to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that that tooth is healed. And if it needs more enamel, Father, we thank you for doing that as well in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that he is healed. That tooth is healed and restored as new in Jesus' name. And I believe it. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. All right, Judy. Hey. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Look, I do right quick. I had a funny thing happen this afternoon, just a few minutes ago. I got this text from somebody in Southern Indiana. I have no idea who it is, and it was one that the first text came up. It said, you won't have to worry about me calling you anymore. And I don't have the number in my phone, so I don't know who it is, you know. And then I said, well, that's good, but who are you? You know, and they never come back. He said, and then a little bit later, he said, after I asked him who he was, he said, would you please erase my number? I said, I would if I knew who you was. But then a little bit later, I didn't respond to him after that. Then he comes back in, or she or whoever says, nobody cares about me, having strong suicidal thoughts. And so David and I prayed for him. We bound up the spirits of suicide against them. And then I told him that we had prayed the prayer for him. And then I get this message back. It says, Chase visited, couldn't understand much of anything said. I could barely get words out. And it was Japanese to me. I didn't understand what they were talking about. And so I sent him one. I told him to repent and believe, and sent a message of repentance to him. And now I'd like to pray for him. Lord, I lift this person up to you. Lord, you know who it is. I looked it up, Lord, and you showed me the name, but I didn't recognize the name, so I'm not sure that that's who it is anyway. But Father, I lift this person up to you, and I thank you, Lord, that you're working in his heart or her heart. And Lord, that we bound up those spirits of suicide and rebellion against him. And Lord, we thank you for giving him clarity or her clarity of thought. And we ask, Lord, that you grant repentance and draw him nigh unto you, Lord, with a new salvation, Lord, that he would be free from all this torment that he's in, Lord, or she's in. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to do a mighty work here. We thank you for anointing those text messages that were sent, Lord, that when he does have clarity of mind, he'll read them and understand what's going on and bow down, Lord. I just see him now as bowing down and raising his hands and surrendering his heart to you, Father. And I thank you for doing that, Father, in Jesus' name, for this person. And I praise you, Father, for bringing him into the kingdom and setting him free in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Y'all ever get anything like that? That's the first time it's happened to me in a long time. All right, anybody else? Oh,
I said I think I got a text a long time ago from somebody out of a clear blue sky like that, and nothing like that dramatic, but we ended up just chatting.
Oh, yeah.
Found out they were a Christian, so it was kind of good, but it was just an opportunity to kind of witness, you know, like you did a little bit, so.
Amen. Okay, Judy, what you got, girl? You got to turn your microphone up because I can't hear a word you're saying.
I have to learn sign language, Michael.
I don't know what to do. It's turned up.
Okay, just talk loud then.
Well, I can do that. did I ask everybody to pray for my middle daughter, Amy? I can't remember that was in jail. Did I ask that on the call?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'm asking everybody to help pray with me for my middle daughter. She violated probation, failed a drug test, and it was from Florida, so they took her from Indiana to Florida. And she said, of course, I've heard that Florida jails are really, really bad, but, you know, they can't be a luxury either. So Lord, I'm just asking that you take care of Amy in any way that you can and bring her to repentance. Lord, show her the things that you need to show her. Bind her tongue, the things that she says. I told her I don't want to hear anymore. She just doesn't speak well. So she thinks they're all against her, but she did tell me that she believes the Lord allowed this for a reason. So, you know, Lord, just be with her, comfort her, give her understanding, but take those evil demon spirits of what she says that comes out of her mouth, take those evil spirits of rejection and condemnation, and she probably has every one of them, I don't know, but Lord, just be with her, show her what you want to show her, and bring her to her knees, Lord, and I ask this all in your name. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for the work you're doing in Amy right now, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you place rest and peace in Judy's heart too, Father, that she's prayed the prayer of faith now. We all believe in with her, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it don't make any difference what our eyes see and our ears hear. We know, God, that you're working in Amy's life, and she's going to be brought to her knees in repentance. And she's going to be a wonderful child of God in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Amen. You believe that, Judy?
Yes, I do. And also pray for me to stay in the rest.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yep. Well, Lord, you know how to do that, and we thank you, Lord, for bringing to her remembrance that you're in charge. She's not in charge. Amy's not in charge. Those officers down there in the prison are not in charge. Lord, you are the one that's in charge. You are the one that's going to bring about this this repentance and this deliverance in Amy, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that, Judy. Amen. All right. Anybody else? 80 degrees in my bedroom here. I just want to let y'all know it's nice and warm in here. It's cold outside and it's wet outside, but in my bedroom, it's 80 degrees. We got that fire going downstairs and it heats this whole house. Glory to God. Me and David both like it hot. We don't like that cold weather. We two old southern boys ain't used to that cold weather. Praise God. Now, Joe's not either. He's from South Africa. He ain't used to that cold weather either. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Got my cool glass of tea in this 80-degree weather. You need this every now and then just to keep yourself hydrated. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I've been... Today, I've been, I don't know about y'all, but there's a longing in my heart to get more of God, to more of God just come into my heart, and I want more of him. And I was listening to one of those compilations that I sent y'all on the email. I think it's called Hunger for God or something like that with Paul Washer and Leonard Ravenhill and some more people on there. And it just got me stirred up a lot more. And I thought we'd talk about that a little bit if nobody's got any more prayer requests. Maybe we've got a testimony or a praise report before we get into that. But be thinking about that while we're doing the testimonies and the praise reports. Go ahead, Barry. You got to unmute yourself. You know how to unmute yourself? Yeah, I'll do it. All right, I got it.
Okay. The next one, I have one for our youngest son. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Our youngest son, his name is Jed, and he lives here in the same town we do. And we talked to... our boys a while back about the fact that we would be leaving and moving there to Madisonville or around there, and that we didn't know quite when, but that we're planning to do this. And he, you know, they took it well, but he's sort of real inward. He doesn't show emotions a lot. And we've always been real close to him, but he's not real, you know, real easy to show how he's really feeling. And he's really, we can tell, depressed by you know, the fact that we're going to be leaving here. And he's looking to go to Louisiana and get a job if he can there with some friends. And, but it's just like, you know, that we're not going to be here anymore. So he doesn't have any reason to be here. And we just detected a real depression in him about us leaving, and he just really has some well, he needs to come to the Lord. He's not a believer, and he hasn't worked on a regular job for a long time. He's got money he made up north. He made a lot of money, and he's still living off of that, trying to do online stuff. And he's good at that stuff, but he's afraid to get out and get a job and things like this. And he's just without a lot of hope in a lot of areas. And we feel really, really, we're really hurting when we think about how, what he's, you know, what he seems to be going through inside. And we don't like the thought of being separated from him either. So we just like you know, y'all to agree with, in prayer with us for him that he'll be free from a spirit of depression that can just pull him down farther. And he just doesn't have incentive to go out and you know, find a job and do things. And he doesn't have very many friends around this area anymore. And we're just real concerned about him. So I guess I'll just start praying. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for Jeb that you will help him to see light and see hope in the gospel, to see that he's been wrong, to put away his belief in you that he used to have, and show him that, that things are really, that he has a heavenly father there waiting if he'll come back to him like the prodigal son, that he can turn from his ways, and that God will, that you'll accept him again, that you love him, and that you want to give him a life, that he's without direction, he's without any light in his life, and we pray that you'll keep back that spirit of despair and discouragement and possibly even suicide that could get into him, so that he won't, so that he still will stay alive and stay healthy in a way where he can find you, that you can communicate with him is really, really what it is. We know. We pray that you reveal yourself to him, that Jesus, you reveal yourself to him in a way that he hasn't known you, that you show yourself alive, that you show yourself strong, and Father, that you show yourself also a righteous judge that he needs to fear, and that he sees the way where he can come back to you, and he can be faithful, and he can be a part of your kingdom and be part of something that has some meaning. So we thank you, Father. And we know you've taught us in your word to believe we've received what we've asked for. And we believe this, that you're working in his life right now, that you have been working already, and that it will prove out that all things are working for his good. And we thank you for this, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we lift up, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to answer his prayers. We know it. We understand it, Lord, that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to have it. Lord, I ask and I pray, Lord, that just like it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, he said, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Lord, we thank you that you are sending laborers that Jeb will listen to right now, Lord.
Thank you, Father. And
we command those spirits of depression, obsession, not obsession. What is the other one? Depression and what is it?
Depression and oppression and
oppression.
Oppression.
Thank you, Lord, for sending them off of him in Jesus.
Yes.
We bind up your works right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you that you're going to open up his eyes to the light of the gospel in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father,
that we're going
to stand in the rest of you, Lord, because you're in charge. Anything, we can't do nothing, Lord, without you. Okay it. We prayed the prayer of faith, and we believe now we're going to rest in that knowledge that you're going to bring Jeb into the kingdom, and he's going to be a mighty man of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anything else, Barry?
No, not right now.
Okay. All right. Let's see what Judy's got.
Well, I want to just pray, give a praise report for my first daughter. The Lord gave her a job about a week or so ago, and she was having trouble. She was having trouble making the ratings and stuff, but the lady did say that she's going to have to take her off of that job. But thank the Lord, they got another job in production for her. So I just thank him. I want to thank him and praise the Lord for keeping Angie in another job and giving her safe travel and keeping her away from that alcohol Lord, thank you so much for doing the work that you're doing in Angie. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you're delivering Angie in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? I tell you what, let's all pray for Marlene. She lost her mother this week, and they had a funeral. I think it was today, wasn't it, Jackie? I think it was today, maybe yesterday. But anyway, Lord, I lift up Marlene to you, and I thank you, Father, that you placed joy in her heart, because one day she'll meet her mother up there in glory land, Lord, where you have placed her, because she prayed the prayer of faith here a while back. Marlene led her to the Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that she is there and waiting on Marlene to come up and have a picnic with her. And we thank you, Father, for putting that rest in Marlene, putting that joy in her heart, and putting that peace that surpasses anything that anyone could do, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for loving on Marlene and her brother, I believe, in Jesus' name. And matter of fact, all the family members. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Anyone else?
Okay. Go ahead.
I'd like to give a praise report. Okay, something weird's going on.
I think you're ready.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was muted. I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead. I would like to praise God that the last couple months. Just about everybody I know has been sick except me.
God.
Yeah, praise you, Father. Because at work, I work with pretty much the same people every day, and I think they have all been sick. And I just started believing God that I was healed, and I wouldn't be able to catch those things around me because there's a shield around me.
Thank you,
Father. And so thank you for that, Father. So people are still getting sick at work, and today I was thinking about how amazing it is. I just work right with them and everything, but God's protected me, and I don't feel any kind of fear when they say, "Oh, get away from me," or whatever. So I'm like, "Oh, I'll be all right." And I was saying that to one guy at work yesterday. It was that got him from sick, but so I just praise you for that, Father, thank you that you're always protecting us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's good. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. All right, anybody else? Can y'all see that little old box when it comes up there? Y'all can't see it, can you? Because it ain't in front of the camera. It's on my screen, okay. Figuring this thing out. Hey, did everybody get an invite tonight? About 10 minutes until... Everybody did? Okay. Jackie said she didn't.
No, Michael, I didn't get one.
You didn't get one?
No, sir. And yes, it was the funeral was today. I unmuted myself on my phone, but I didn't know I had to hit *6. I just unmuted it on the mute button. And I was talking to you, but you just kept talking, so I guess you didn't hear me.
I didn't hear a word you say until just now. That's good.
I guess it hit *6. I guess to unmute on a phone, you have to hit *6 and then unmute the phone.
Yeah, you do.
I never called in on the phone. This is the first time I was using the phone tonight.
Well, you're doing good.
Yay. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Okay. You know how to re-mute yourself?
Now, how do I mute myself now?
I don't know.
I mean, I can use the mute button, but that didn't unmute me before because I unmute.
Just use your mute button.
All right.
Does anybody know what things she has to do on the telephone to get her to mute?
Star 6, the mute and unmute.
Okay, star 6, Jackie.
All right, here I go. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Jeremy.
Cheers.
All right, Tim, go ahead, brother.
I didn't get an invite either.
What? I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you did not get an invite.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can
Correct.
You hear me? Okay, you
I
did
hear
not.
You fine.
Okay, it must be an echo. Art, you did not get an invite.
No, sir.
Okay. All right, I'm going to make a note of all this and make sure I've got your right email address. What happened, I didn't get one either until it was late. I had asked. They gave me an option. I'm going to have to call them tomorrow. But they gave me an option to do it an hour early, and that's what I had them to do, is to put in an hour early. And they're still sending it here and yon and whenever, I guess. I hadn't gotten one myself until it was almost, it was 5 till before I got my invite. So anyway, we'll try to get it straightened out tomorrow. Jackie didn't get one either.
You hear me? Okay. Yeah, I got one about 6 minutes too, it looks like.
That's 6 till? Okay. Yeah.
But that's kind of how the invitation would go out on the phones, too, for Uber.
All right. Well, yeah, but I had already stipulated that they send it an hour early. But I'll call them tomorrow and find out what's going on with it. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or praise report or would like to pray?
Can you hear me, Michael?
Yes, sir. Can.
Yeah, I got a praise report. We went to the detention center in Omaha on Sunday, and we were talking about how God sometimes sends things that don't seem like they're very good for us, but he works them out for our good. And this young man shared a story about himself. He had some friends that had gotten killed in they had a flood in Nebraska here. And the road got washed out, and there was no road. And it was a young couple, and they were driving along the road, and all of a sudden the road was gone, and they went in the river, and they didn't get them out for like a month later because of the flood. But anyway, this young man shared with us that he had gotten locked up just before that, and so otherwise he would have been with them. And he wasn't even really a believer, you know, at the time. But through that, he realized that somebody had saved him, and I think he realized that it was God. So I thought that was quite a story.
Amen. That's a good story. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, saving that young man's life and his soul. All right, anybody else? How often do y'all go down there, Martin? Anybody else?
I'm sorry, Michael. I muted myself. We go down there once a month, usually.
Okay. Is this a state prison?
Yeah, it's an arm of the penitentiary, but it's youth. When they reach 21, then they take them someplace else.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, juvenile jail. Penitentiary. What do they used to call that? They used to call that something.
Well, here they call them youth detention centers, but I don't know what they call them in Arkansas.
Well, I think it's the same. Oh, boy. All right, anybody else? Yeah, I was listening to that thing this afternoon when I went on my walk. By the way, on that walk, y'all know, as you probably already know, heard me speaking about it, David and I live on a mountain. And on this mountain, it's a pretty nice-sized mountain. We're up about, I know it's not a mountain to a lot, but it's about 1,250 feet where we are. And we got deer and turkey and all kinds of wildlife up here. We're situated on top of the hill, and there's nobody around us for quite a ways until you get down to the bottom of the hill. And we like it. It's quiet. And we can hear, we're close enough to town that it's not a big deal to go to town. I mean, it's not like we're out in the boonies somewhere, but we're out in the boonies. But anyway, I went on a walk, and I go on about a 2.5-3 mile walk as much as I can, 3 or 4 times a week. And it's just around the mountain and out and around and walk around, and there's paths all through the woods where these motorcycles made paths through the woods and stuff, old paths and stuff, and four wheelers. And I was out walking today and came back up to the mountain, and right before I got up to where I go to the top of the mountain to go to the house, I saw a half a dozen deer. It's been an overcast day, and it's been real kind of a drizzly day. And, you know, as most of you know, wildlife kind of moves around and feeds during that period of time. And I saw about a half a dozen deer before I got up there. And then as I was going up the hill to the top of the hill, there was about 20 or 25 turkeys up there that flew up all around me. It was an awesome sight. There's some big old fat turkeys, man. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody looked good sitting on that table. You know what I'm talking about? It was nice. They were nice looking turkeys. But anyway, it was a good experience for me. I enjoyed it. But while I was on that walk, I was listening to some of these compilations that Sermon Index does. Some of those that I've sent out to y'all, it kind of pumps me up. I don't know about y'all, but it kind of pumps me up. And one of them was Hungry for God. And these men that were preaching these sermons were talking about crying out to God. And Paul Washer was one of them. And he said when he was in seminary, they got a winter break of some sort, that a lot of his friends were going to go out in Colorado to a ski/praying trip. But the Lord told him to go out into East Texas or West Texas in the hill country out there and spend some time with him. He said he went out there for about a week and said he was so hungry for God. He was just so hungry, and he was crying out to God, God, you said in your word, if we'll ask, you know, that you'll, I believe he quoted John 7:37. And, what happened there? I did know it, but I'm a little bit excited right now. He says, if any man thirst, you said in your word, he'd say, if you said in your word, Lord, here's what you said. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Lord, I want to drink. He'd say that. He'd holler at the Lord. You know, Lord, I want more glory. I want you, Lord. And he said, I was like a wild man out there in that woods, throwing rocks at the sky. He said, I was just so hungry for God, and I wanted God to answer me. And this went on for quite some time, for the whole week. He said, if you'd have seen me out there, you'd have put me in a psych ward somewhere. He said, that's what I looked like. He said, I was a wild man out there hollering at God and wanting God to come into his heart and just fill him up, you know. And finally, he said, after I got back, he said, I was still hungry, and I was still asking the Lord to fill him and to let his glory. He wanted to see his face. He said he came. He said one night he was crying out to God. He said he'd do it for 2 and 3 hours a day, and he's crying out to God. And he said it happened. He said all of a sudden this great light came in, and I immediately got into a fetal position, he said, because the power of God in my sinful life was such that it hurt. It hurt him so bad. He thought, if he stays another second, I'm going to die. And he said the Lord touched him and took it all away and filled his heart with him. And he said it. He said that happened 20 years ago. And to this day, I remember all that happened that day. He said, I'll never forget it. He said, I'm still just as filled with God today as I was back then. Y'all want that? Boy, I do. Glory to God. I want God to fill me in a way that it exudes like Peter, you know, when he walked. He was so full of the Holy Spirit that people around him were healed. I want that spill out to help people, to deliver people, to set people free, to heal people. You know, when you walk down the street, that they see the light of God all over you. That's what I want. And I pray that most of you, I'm sure all of y'all do too. And I thought tonight I would read a little bit out of John G. Lake. He had a wonderful speaking on spiritual hunger. And if y'all would allow me, I'm going to go ahead and read this, unless somebody else has got something they'd like to say before we get started. Spiritual hunger, and he quotes Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Woo, glory to God. I'm thirsting and I'm hungry, Lord, after righteousness. Lake says, hunger can be a good thing. It is the greatest persuader I know of. It's a marvelous power. Nations have learned that you can do almost anything with the population until they get hungry. But when they get hungry, watch out. There is a certain spirit of desperation that accompanies hunger. I wish we all had it spiritually. I wish we were desperately hungry for God. Wouldn't it be glorious? It would be a strange thing if we were all desperately hungry for God. If only one or two got filled in a service. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness is the rightness of God. The rightness of God in your spirit. The rightness of God in your soul. The rightness of God in your body. The rightness of God in your affairs, in your home, in your business, everywhere. God is an all-around God. His power operates from every side. The artists paint a halo around the head of Jesus to show that there is a radiation of glory from his person. They might just as well put it around his feet or any other part of his person. It's the radiant glory of the indwelling God radiating out through the personality. There's nothing more wonderful than the indwelling of God in the human life. The most supreme example that God ever performed was his taking possession of men. By the Holy Spirit, he comes in and takes possession of those who are hungry. You know, I remember when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I had that same experience. I felt like I could go outside and float to heaven. I'm telling you, that's the way I felt. I was just full of the Holy Spirit, and I was speaking in tongues, and I did it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours out there in my shop by myself on a cold day. And I wasn't cold, I wasn't doing nothing, but just had my eyes fixed on Jesus, man, and I was floating in heaven all the while because God had come into my heart and filled my heart with his radiant glory. That's the way I felt then, and I want to keep that. I want more of it. Okay. We are sometimes inclined to think of God as mechanical, as though God just set a date for this or that event to occur. But my opinion is that one of the works of the Holy Ghost is to prepare the hearts of men in advance by putting within them a strong hunger for that event that has been promised by God until it comes to pass. The more I study history and prophecy, the more I'm convinced that when Jesus Christ was born into the world, he was born in answer to a tremendous heart cry on the part of the world. The world needed God desperately. Y'all think God, the world needs God desperately today? I guarantee you it does. And I guarantee you there's people crying out to God right now. They wanted a manifestation of God tremendously. And Jesus Christ as deliverer and savior came in answer to their soul's cry. Many look forward to the second coming of Jesus as though mechanically on a certain date, when certain events come to pass, Jesus is going to appear. I don't see it that way. I believe there must be an overwhelming hunger for the Lord's coming in the hearts of men, so that a prayer such as was never prayed in the world before Christ to come will rise to heaven. And when it rises to heaven on the part of sufficient souls, it will take Jesus Christ off the throne and bring him down to earth. Daniel says he was convinced by the study of the books of prophecy, especially that of Jeremiah, that the time had come when the Israelites should be delivered from their captivity in Babylon. The 70 years were fulfilled, but there was no deliverance. So he diligently set his face to pray it into being. Daniel chapter 9. If deliverance were going to come to pass mechanically on a certain date, there wouldn't have been any necessity for Daniel to get that tremendous hunger in his soul so that he fasted and prayed in sackcloth and ashes that deliverance might come. God's purposes come to pass when our heart and mind get the real God cry, when the real God prayer comes into our hearts and the real God yearning gets hold of our nature, something's going to happen then. No matter what your soul may be coveting, if it becomes the supreme cry in your life, not the secondary matter, or the third, or fourth, the fifth, or tenth, but the supreme desire of your soul, the paramount issue, all the powers and energies of your spirit, soul, and body are reaching out and crying out to God for the answer. It's going to come. He said, I lived in a family which for 32 years was never without an invalid in the home. Before I was 24 years of age, we had buried 4 brothers and 4 sisters, and 4 other members of the family were dying hopeless, helpless invalids. Excuse me. I set up my own home, married a beautiful woman, and our first son was born. In only a short time, I saw the same devilish train of sickness that had followed father's family had come into mine. My wife became an invalid. My son was a sickly child. Out of it all, one thing developed in my nature, a cry for deliverance. My soul cried to God for deliverance. I knew nothing about the subject of healing, and notwithstanding, I was a Methodist evangelist. But my heart was crying for deliverance. My soul had come to the place where I had given up depending on man. That's a place God wants us in. That's a weak place right there. My father had spent a fortune on the family to no avail. As if there were no stoppage to this train of hell. And let me tell you, there's no human stoppage because the thing is settled deep in the nature of man, too deep for any material remedy to get at it. It takes the Almighty God and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ to get into the depth of man's nature and find the real difficulty that is there and destroy it. And if you are away from God and your heart is longing, your soul is crying for God's deliverance, He'll be on hand to deliver. You will not have to cry very long until you see that the mountains are being moved and the angel of deliverance will be there. Praise God. He said, I finally got to that place where my supreme heart cry was for deliverance. Tears were shed for deliverance for 3 years before the healing of God came to us. I could hear the groans and cries, the wretchedness and sobs, and feel my family's desperation. My heart cried. My soul sobbed. My spirit wept tears. I wanted help. I did not know enough to call directly on God for it. Isn't it a strange thing that men do not have sense enough to call on God for physical difficulties as well as for spiritual ones? But I did not. There's a lot of folks like that, isn't it? But one thing matured in my heart, a real hunger. And the hunger of a man's soul must be satisfied. It's a law of God which is in the depths of the spirit. God will answer the heart that cries. God will answer the soul that asks. Christ Jesus comes to us with divine assurance and invites us when we are hungry to pray, to believe, to take from the Lord that which our soul covets and our heart yearns for. One day, the Lord of heaven came our way, and in a little while, the cloud of darkness, that midnight of hell, that curse of death was lifted. The light of God shone into our life and into our home just the same as it existed in other men's lives and other men's homes. We learned the truth of Jesus and were able to apply the divine power of God. We were healed of the Lord. Blessed are they which do hunger. Now, he tells a story here of a friend of his. He says, I love to tell this story because it is the story of a hungry man. A short time after I went to South Africa, hey Joe, and God had begun to work very marvelously in the city of Johannesburg. A butcher who lived in the suburbs was advised by his physicians that he had developed such a tubercular state that he might not live more than 9 months. He wanted to make provisions so that his family would be cared for after he was gone. He bought a farm and undertook to develop it so that when he died, his family would have a means of existence. Well, he's looking ahead, wasn't he? One day, he received a letter from friends at Johannesburg telling of the coming of what they spoke of as the American Brethren and of the wonderful things that were taking place. They told of so-and-so, a terrible drunkard who had been converted, and of his niece who had been an invalid in a wheelchair for 5 years who had been healed of God, and how one of his other relatives had been baptized in the Holy Ghost and was speaking in tongues, and of other friends and neighbors who had been baptized and healed. He told of the powerful change that had come in the community and all the marvels of vigorous work for God produces. Dan Von Vuren took the letter, crawled out under an African thorn tree. He spread the letter out before God and began to discuss it with the Lord. I can just see him doing it, man. He said, God in heaven, if you could come to Mr. So-and-so, a drunkard, and deliver him from his sin and save his soul, and put the joy of God in him. And if you could come to this niece of mine and save her soul, heal her body, and send her out to be a blessing instead of a weight and burden upon her friends. If you could come to so-and-so and they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, Lord, if you can do these things at Johannesburg, you can do something for me too. He knelt down, put his face to the ground, and cried to God that he would do something for him. That morning, Von Vuren was so stirred by the reading of that letter that his desire to be made whole got bigger than anything else in his consciousness. His heart reached for God, and that morning his prayer went through to heaven. Praise God. God came down in his life, and in 10 minutes, he took all the breath he wanted. The pain was gone. The tuberculosis had disappeared, and he was a whole man. But that was not all. He not only received a great physical healing, but God also had literally come in and taken possession of the man's life until he didn't understand himself anymore. In telling me, he said, "Brother, a new prayer from heaven was born in my spirit. I had prayed for my wife's salvation for 18 years, but I never could pray through. But that morning, I prayed through. It was all done when I got to the house. She stood and looked at me for 2 minutes until it dawned in her soul that I was gloriously healed of God. She never asked a question as to how it took place, but fell on her knees, threw her hands up to heaven and said, 'Pray for me, Dan. For God's sake, pray for me. I must find God today.' And God came into her soul." Praise the Lord. Von Vuren, that's the guy's name, had 11 splendid children. The mother and he began praying. Listen to this now. And within a week, the whole household of 13 had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. He went to his brother's farm, told of the wonder that God had done, prayed through, and in a little while, 19 families were baptized in the Holy Ghost. God so filled Von Vuren's life with his glory that one morning God said to him, "Go to Pretoria. I am going to send you to the different members of Parliament." At executive headquarters, he was admitted to the presence of Premier Louis Both. Said Lake, "I had known Von Vuren from the time he was a boy. I had known him as a reckless, rollicking fellow. But that man came into my office and stood 10 feet from my desk. I looked up, and before he began to speak, I began to shake in my chair." Praise God. "I knelt down. I had to stick my head under the desk and cry to God. While he looked and talked like God, he had the majesty of God. He was superhumanly wonderful." Now, this is what Premier Both was telling Lake at the time. Von Vuren then went to the office of the Secretary of State, then to the Secretary of the Treasury, and almost the same thing took place in each instance. For 18 days, God kept him going from this one to that one, lawyers, judges, and officials in the land, until every high official in the land knew there was a God, a Christ, and a Savior, and a baptism of the Holy Ghost, all because Dan Von Vuren had really hungered after God. blessed are they which do hunger. For now, this is Lake talking here. He says, for several years before I left Africa, he went up and down the land like a burning fire. Everywhere he went, sinners were saved, sick were healed, men and women were baptized in the Holy Ghost until he set the outlying districts on fire with the power of God. Oh, praise be the Lord. Joe, you want to see that in your country again, don't you, buddy? Amen. Me too. I want to see it in this country, glory to God, as well. I want to see it go all over the world. Oh, praise be to God. God is so good. And he goes on. He talks about Fred Bosworth. I know some of you probably heard of him. He said, I sat in Fred Bosworth's home one night before Fred thought of preaching the gospel and listened to Lillian Thistlethwaite. Everybody knows who that is. I've never heard of her. Sister-in-law of Charles Parham. Tell of God and his love, his sanctifying grace and power, and what real holiness is. It was not her arguments of logic that impressed me. It was herself. It was the divine holiness that came from her soul. It was the living spirit of God that came out of the woman's life. I sat back in the room as far away as I could get. I was self-satisfied, doing well in the world, prosperous with all the accompaniments that go with successful life. But that night, my heart became so hungry that I fell on my knees, and those who were present will tell you yet that they had never heard anybody pray as I prayed. Bosworth said long afterward, Lake, there is one instance that I shall always remember in your life, and that was the night you prayed in my home until the rafters shook, until God came down, until the fire struck, until God came in and sanctified our hearts. All the devils in hell could not make me believe there is not a real sanctified experience of Jesus Christ. When God comes in and makes your heart pure and takes out of your nature and gives you divine triumph over sin and self. Blessed are they which do hunger, beloved. Pray to get hungry. As I talked with Lillian Thistlethwaite, I observed the one supreme thing in that woman's soul was the consciousness of holiness. She said, Brother, that is what we prayed for. That is what the baptism brought to us. That is what we coveted from God. Praise God. Thistlethwaite, what a name, but what a wonderful God-filled woman. Later, Brother Parham was preaching in Texas. Now, here's the story. A black man by the name of, he says, Tom Seymour. Y'all remember William Seymour, don't you? I guess they must have called him Tom, came into his meeting. Parham related his experience to Brother Tom and myself. There was a deep hunger in that black man's soul. He worked as a waiter in a restaurant to support himself while preaching to the church of his own people. He knew God as his Savior and sanctifier. He knew the power of God to heal. But as he listened to Parham, he became convinced of a bigger thing. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. He went on to Los Angeles without receiving it, but he said he was determined to preach all of God that he knew to the people. He said, before I met Parham, such a hunger to have more of God was in my heart that I prayed for 5 hours a day for 2.5 years. You know, we get tired after 15 minutes, don't we, sometimes? For 2.5 years, I got to Los Angeles, and there the hunger was not less, but more. I prayed, God, what can I do? The Spirit said, pray more. There are better things to be had in spiritual life, but they must be sought out with faith and prayer. And he said, but Lord, I'm praying 5 hours a day now. So I increased my hours of praying to 7 and prayed on for a year and a half more. I prayed to God to give me what Parham preached, the real Holy Ghost in fire with tongues and love and power of God like the apostles had. God had put such a hunger into that man's heart that when the fire of God came, it glorified him. I do not believe, now this is Lake talking, I do not believe any other man in modern times had a more wonderful deluge of God in his life than God gave to that dear fellow. And the glory and power of a real Pentecost swept the world. That black man preached to my congregation of 10,000 people when the glory and power of God was upon his spirit, and men shook and trembled and cried to God. God was in him. Blessed are they which do hunger, for they shall be filled. Y'all hang on just a minute. I wonder what we are hungering for. Have we a real divine hunger? Something our soul is asking for? If you have God, God will answer. God will answer. By every law of the Spirit that men know, the answer is due to come. It will come. Bless God. It will come. It will come in more ways than you ever dreamed of. God is not confined to manifesting himself in tongues and interpretations alone. When I was a lad, I accompanied my father on a visit to the office of John A. McCall, the great insurance man. We were taken to McCall's office in his private elevator. It was the first time I had ever been in a great office building and ridden in an elevator. And I held my breath until the thing stopped, and then we stepped into his office, the most beautiful office I had ever beheld. The rugs were so thick I was afraid to go through that I would go through the floor. His desk was a marvel, pure mahogany, and on the top of his desk, inlaid in mother of pearl, was his name, written in script. It was so magnificent that in my boyish soul I said, I'm going to have an office just like this and a desk like that with my name in it when I'm a man. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and skip over a lot of this. When he turned 30, he was approached by a bunch of men to become the head of the insurance companies in America. They offered him a large amount of money. He negotiated with them for a while, and he finally got it. And when they took him to his office, he had all of this stuff with his name in mother of pearl on it. So, and that's what he was talking about. He said that he had, instead of the name John A. McCall, it was John G. Lake inscribed in mother of pearl. And he said that he had never spoken of that sole desire to a person in the world, but he had it in his heart all the time, and that's what happened to him. There is something in the call of a soul that is creative. It brings things to pass. When the supreme desire of your heart cries out to God, all the spiritual energy of your nature and the powers of God that come to you begin to concentrate and work toward that goal. Then there comes into being that which your soul calls for by the conscious creative exercise of faith. That is the creative action of faith. You and God working out and evidencing the power of creative desire. I am a believer in the partnership of man and God. I believe there is a fusing, a symphonizing of the soul of God and man, where the two become one, not a saved man and a glorious God, but man fused into God and God fused into man, one divine creation. when Moses stood at the Red Sea, it was not Moses and God. It was just God. God had said, thou shalt be as God. Not different from God, but thou shalt be as God. We are continually saying, Lord, make me a channel, leaving ourselves separated from God in our thought and expecting God to pour his supernatural or his spiritual power and blessing through us. That's not the highest thing. There is a greater experience than that in God's word. It's where you and God become one. Your whole body, your whole soul, your whole mind, your whole heart, your whole spirit in the rhythm and fusion and symphony of the eternal God, one in heart, one in mind, one in soul, one accord. That's what happens when we all become one in accord. We've got that God relationship, right? You and God as one. Now, when Moses stood at the Red Sea, he tried to back out of that relationship God was establishing and tried to throw the responsibility back on God. He was overwhelmed. It was too marvelous. Surely God must not have meant it, but God knew. When Moses began to recognize himself as an individual and God as another, it was offensive to God. He thought he could back up and pray to God to do something for him the way God used to do in the old relationship, but he could not do it. The idea that Moses would want to leave that place of close fellowship with him, that inner relationship, that divine symphony of Moses' soul and God's, was offensive to God. And God said, wherefore criest thou unto me? In other words, shut up your praying, but lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. That's what God told him. God did not say, Moses, you stretch forth your hand, and I will divide the sea. Hang on. Had to sneeze. Sorry about that. He said, God did not say, Moses, you stretch forth your hand and I will divide the sea. He said, stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. God was saying, Moses, you and I are one. Whoa. Hang on. He said, Moses, you and I are one. Stretch forth your hand and divide the sea. You have all there is of me, and I have all there is of you. We are one and indivisible. God and man become one. Y'all hear me? I had to do a little sneezing there. He said, we are one and indivisible. God and man become one. The heart of man, the mind of man, the soul of man enters into God and God into him. The divine fires of the eternal Christ by the Holy Ghost come from heaven and the lightnings of Jesus flash through that life. The power of Christ invigorates, manifests, and demonstrates through that relationship. God revealed that to my soul in the days when I first went to Africa. Within 6 weeks after my feet touched the soil, and before God had given me a white church to preach in, I said, Lord, when you give me a church in which to preach this gospel, I will preach the highest and holiest thing God's Spirit reveals to my heart. I don't care if anybody believes it or sees it. I am going to preach the vision the Son of God puts in my soul. He put within me the vision of the glorified Christ and the glorified Christian, not a man simply saved from sin, but a man sanctified by God's power, infilled with his Spirit, created with and in Jesus Christ, one in nature, character, and substance. And my heart began to preach it. My mouth gave the message. My soul sent forth the word, and my spirit called such that wanted to be that character of man to come to the feet of the Son of God and receive his blessing and power. The thing that was in my soul fired Dan Von Vuren's soul and kindled the faith of the people. Wherever it spread, it set men on fire for God. But in every new experience, men have to be tested and established through enduring. We don't want to hear enduring, do we? But that's what God does. Some grew very weary. Others never had that high vision. But they had tongues. And because they had tongues, they felt equal to those who had died to themselves. And they had more nerves and less experience. And they dragged the standard down. God has led them through the furnace. Friends, we need a coming up into God. This church worldwide needs to come up into God. We have been traveling around in a circle and burying our heads in the ground. We have had our eyes on the ground instead of up in the clouds, up at the throne. Look up to the glorified one. If you want to see his bleeding hands, look to heaven where he is to see him. Don't look to Calvary to see him. He is risen, glorified Son of God in heaven with all power and all authority with the keys of hell and death. He is the divine authority, the eternal overcoming manifestation of God in heaven. You and the glorified Christ as one are the divine manifestation of God. Come up to the throne, dear ones. Let the throne life and the throne love and the throne power and the throne spirit and the Holy Ghost in heaven possess you, and you will be a new man in Christ Jesus. And your tread will be the march of the conqueror, your crown the crown of glory, and your power the power of God. 2 months ago, the fire of God descended on my soul at Spokane, and God said, Africa and the world again. I am getting ready in my soul, not to give the old message with the old fire, but the new message with the new fire. Not only to ask men to be good and go to heaven when they die, but to be godlike in character, nature, and substance, and being. God is priming our souls. He's going to send forth the living waters and call by experience the new order of Knights of the Morning Star into being in action. Praise God. That was awesome. That gets you fired up. Got me fired up. Praise God. Anybody got any comments on what John G. Lake was talking about? Spiritual hunger. Nobody got any comments? Come on now. Y'all help me out here. You know, Lake was an interesting person. I studied all of his works. I've read just about everything there is on him years ago. I probably forgot a lot. When he left Africa, when he left South Africa, there were people still lined up to be healed in the little village that he was at. And before he got on the boat, on the ship, he went over and laid his hands on a post in the middle of town there. And he said, in the name of Jesus, all who touch this post from this point on in faith will be healed. And over 10,000 people were healed because of it. This was after he came back over here. They were healed. Now, that's the power of God, isn't it? I want to see stuff like it. We're going to see some stuff like that. What you talking about coming up? Some of you might be translated back and forth to places to minister to people that you know, or maybe that you don't know. You know, you'll have to pop up in some right beside somebody driving down the road in a pickup or something, you know. Say, hey, man, what's up? You know, one of your old buddies. Hey, dude, what's going on here? Let me tell you about my – how in the world did you get in here in my truck? You know that – can you see that? I can see that. I ain't putting God in no box. Not me. He can do it. I can see, I was talking about that last week. I can just see myself popping up in my brother's pickup, him out there on the farm, you know. Whoop! Oh, glory to God. What are you doing there? What are you doing there, Michael? I said, I come to tell you about Jesus, man. I come to tell you about Jesus. And I can see it. I can see where people will get saved. People are going to be pulled out of places of harm, in harm's way, because of your faith. You got to have faith to believe these things, you know. That's why I don't ever put God in a box. Somebody said, well, God did this, and it doesn't conform to what your way of thinking is. Don't say, well, I don't believe that. Don't say it. I'm telling you, because God can use you in any kind of way he wants to. I learned a long time ago not to put, when I saw people getting healed of all kinds of diseases and malfunctions in their body, I knew right then God could do anything he wanted to. When he healed me in that Bible bookstore back in Little Rock, I knew, I said, uh-oh, somebody's lying in that church I'm in. Because they done told me that God don't heal no more. And here he has, he done healed me. And they tell me that, I ain't going for that. And I latched on to that guy that knew what he was talking about for about 8 months. And I followed him around like a whoop puppy dog, man. I was learning everything. I was soaking everything up I could about healing and deliverance. And God honored it. God honored it. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, people that when I got saved didn't believe in baptism of the Holy Spirit. They thought you got all you got at salvation, you know. And then I found out, I went into a bookstore and I said, what's this Holy Spirit stuff, you know, and got into those books by Kenneth Hagin. I said, uh-oh, them boys done lied to me about that now, you know, and I wanted that, and God gave it to me. It took a while, you know. You got to get your mind out of the way. It took a few months before I really got baptized. It wasn't one of those instant things. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And then one day while I was out there in the shop, I was praying. Oh, I was saying, Lord, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And zap! Boy, I'm going to tell you something. The power of God hit me. I didn't know what was happening, but I didn't care. You know, I didn't care. God just blessed me. Praise God. But anyway, we got a big time coming up. Y'all, I hope all of you listened to the broadcast Sunday. It was awesome. It was a good encouragement to all of us. Believe that you're going to be in the bride. If you want to believe that you're going to be in the man child, start believing. Have faith to believe it. God will use you. It don't make any difference where you are, you know. If you believe it, you can do it. God said, you know, praise God. That whole thing was about Sunday, was to believe that you're going to be in the bride, to believe that you're going to be in the man-child ministry, and you will be. And I believe it, you know. It's not anything that we can do anyway, is it? It ain't nothing that I can do. I can't do nothing. It has to be God, only God. But he can use our faith to do it, and he will, if you just believe. You know, those doubts always, well, there ain't no way in the world that I could be in the bride. There ain't no way in the world that I could be in the man child. Well, no, you can't on your own, but you can with the faith of God. That's a great thing about this walk that we do. God gives us everything we need. He gives us the faith. He puts it in our heart to want to do the things that he wants us to do. And all we have to do is just kick back. Read the word. Get study. You know, encourage yourself with books like John G. Lake and things like that. It'll boost your faith level. You know, when you hear these testimonies of these people. That one about that guy getting under the thorn bush there. My goodness. Hey, Joe, you got a thorn bush out there close to your house? Okay. Well, I don't either, but I bet I could find one. You know, when you get hungry for God, you don't have to have a thorn bush. You don't have to have anything but the want to. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Hebrews 1 and 14, 2, 1 through 3. Praise God. The spiritual man. Anybody want to add anything to what we're talking about? What about you, David? Put you on the spot, brother.
I just really enjoy listening to everything.
Boy, some good stuff here from John Lake, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the last week I've been following that path too, about not necessarily worried about the man-child or worried about being in the bride. I mean, initially you kind of have those concerns, but then I think the more the Lord leads you to believe that that's not you anyways, that's doing all these things, it's him in you, and we start to enter that rest a little more. It helps to allow you to just be more focused on him, on the word, and what he's trying to teach you and show you in your life and guide you, and you're not so concerned about trying to be something or trying to achieve something at that point, as much as you're trying to just get closer to the Lord, which we're talking about now, and have that infilling and that indwelling. So when we start being more concerned about that and that relationship and getting as close as we can, I think all of a sudden we find ourselves, we are in the bride at that point. We are going to be part of the man-child. Because even with all the time, a lot, you hear about the numbers, and even today, inundated with 144 a lot, different places, or see 44, and just enough to remind you 144. And the Lord pulls your attention to those things when he's doing it. And it's not like you're trying to think, oh, yeah, get puffed up about it, but you realize you're on the right track. You're where you need to be. You may not think that you're thinking, well, I haven't arrived yet, like David was talking about. Well, it's not about you arriving. It's about you trusting the Lord to get you there. It's about how much are you relaxing in the Lord to allow him to work and do in his good pleasure. And I can't say we all have that perfected walk yet. We all have come to that place where every place we set our soles of our feet, everybody's blessed. But we know that we're on the path. We know that we're staying the course where we need to be. And the thing is not to get off the path and not let things dissuade us to look in another direction or feel like we're missing out on something. Because, again, that's Satan trying to bring in doubt in their minds. And I was listening to Judy talk about her daughters. And, you know, I get up pretty early in the morning. And I've had some pretty stressful couple of days at work because we have some machinery that's down and the pressure's on to get it up. And you start getting these thoughts in your head, and Satan's coming in and trying to fill you in with anxiety and doubt, or get you mad about somebody else or what somebody said. And you start to realize, wait a minute, that's not my thoughts, and that's not the way I want to feel, but you're being pushed. You know you're having this spiritual warfare going on, and it's so subtle, but it makes it feel like it's part of you, and it's not. And that's where I could see where Judy's daughter, well, she's going through that spiritual warfare. And that's sometimes how God, you know, it may look like somebody's actually being beat up at that point and they're losing the battle. But, you know, he has to put you through those circumstances, and you have to experience that before you can come to a point where you know how to fight and battle that too. And you have to go through, maybe get bruised up along the way. And you got to get, have some defeats before you start understanding that. And you get the understanding from God that, hey, wait a minute, I can depend upon the Lord, and I don't have to receive that, I'm a new person in Christ, and that's not how Christ feels about these things. And you start to have transformation of your life there. You start to transform your mind. John G. Lake did that. He transformed his mind. He became the person he needed to be in Christ because he knew he had to die so Christ could live. And that's what we're all doing. We're learning how to die to self and allow Christ to manifest in us and be who we need to be through Christ, which is a wonderful thing. All we have to do is sit back and, like Michael's talking, daily get in the scriptures, which I try to do. Not that I'm saying we're all arriving, but we're not getting dissuaded. We're staying on the course. We're moving forward. And that's what we have to encourage others to do. Hey, they might say, like Judy's daughter, you know, why is this stuff coming out of my mouth? Or why do I feel, why am I doing the things I'm doing? Well, we all have to get trained. We all have to get prepared. And it doesn't necessarily mean everything comes out roses at first, but you have to go through the tough times in life before you start realizing I get to control that and I don't have to allow Satan to manipulate my life. And then the Lord, you can see how he transforms us and we start feeling the love of Christ. We start feeling the continuity and brotherhood as we come together and seeing that we all have a lot of similar backgrounds and similar experiences, and we all get to share it and we get to grow from what we from each other from what we've experienced, and we say, oh, okay, that's what this is all about. So I guess I'm just kind of rambling a little bit, but just wanted to let you know that don't feel like you're getting discouraged about what's going on in your life. We have to go through these situations so that we can understand how to fight the warfare. And just because we feel like we're not the Peters, we're not the John G. Lakes walking around, doesn't mean God's not going to use us still. We have to go through this process. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And then he felt like afterwards when the Lord approached him and said, and he had to ask Peter 3 times, do you love me? And he was saying to the family, he said, do you phileo me? Can you just be my friend? Well, we look at those circumstances and think, wow, that was just a regular human being. And he felt some pretty terrible things then. He felt really a lot of grief and stress over that. But the Lord wasn't trying to kick him away. He wasn't trying to say, hey, listen, you failed me. Get away from here. He was just trying to draw him closer and keep him close. And you got to realize that's what the Lord does with us. We are going to have some situations in our lives and others we know that are going to not make it look like we're doing so well. But the Lord can still draw on those circumstances and use them in our life in order to humble us and bring us closer to him.
Amen. You know, we're in, right now we're in, on our Wednesday Bible study, Delivered from Dark Powers. And in the chapter we're in, which is chapter 10, there's a couple of paragraphs here on correction for ourselves, you know. And it brings out some real good, solid points that I'd like to go over that gets us into that sanctified life. We have to be willing that God would, that for God to correct us and us not get self-righteous in that correction, you know. He says, our Father is going to correct us. Many people get angry with God when he corrects them. This is God's, let's see, well, hang on. God doesn't give us our way. God stops us putting roadblocks up there and here. He even lets demons come in to hinder us. This is to prevent us from doing something that he doesn't want us to do or that he won't permit us to do because of our sins. And so people get angry. There are people you have to tiptoe around. If you're going to bring any correction to them, you have to be very careful. You have to really charm the serpent. When you get through with being all careful around them, they'll bite you anyway. You know, how many of you know people like that, that you have to be real careful walking around them because they get mad at you? Some of you people know that, know people like that. Some of you are experiencing this happening. There are demons that are trying to bring you into an ultimate no escape awful trap. Hatred for correction is a terrible thing. We all have to be open to correction from God and from mature people around us. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of people don't want to hear about correction in their life. Hang on, I'm going to let Stan. Okay, Stan, go ahead, brother. There you are.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask you, what was the name of that book again that you're reading? Can't you hear me?
Now you can hear me. Okay. I said, you got any money? Okay, this is it.
What's the name of it?
It says Spiritual Hunger and Other Sermons by John G. Lake. Mm. You can get it from Christ for the Nations. Or Amazon will have it. It's by Dr. John G. Lake and edited by Gordon Lindsay. You could probably get it on Amazon, Spiritual Hunger. I just read a real small portion of it. It's got, I don't know, a little over 100 pages in it. It's real good. I think you'd enjoy it.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I was just so impressed with how much he spends in prayer. I mean, I spend hours in the middle of the night, but not 5 hours. That's quite a bit.
Yeah, that's good. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Well, we all need to spend more time, as much time as we can, you know, in prayer. I spend a lot of time in prayer, but it's, you know, like Claudia was talking about, most of it's in bed. When I do that, I don't get a whole lot of sleep. David doesn't either. I guess we both, the Lord has just acclimated us to that climate of staying up. If I can get 4 or 5 hours of sleep, I'm fine. David even less than that. anyway, I want to get back to this self-justification stuff. A person with the spirits we've already mentioned doesn't want to hear correction. That's talking about rejection spirits. Spirits of condemnation, fear of rejection spirits. They don't want to hear about correction. And I hope this will help you, because it helped me see, understand about these people who have this rejection spirit. Then it says that the person with spirits we've already mentioned doesn't want to hear correction. This person feels pain when they're corrected. The next thing that comes along, because they read correction as rejection, which is painful to them, it's a spirit of self-justification. And self-justification in a person describes a person who never does anything wrong. And that's another terrible trap. When self-justification is present, you can still call yourself a Christian while self-justifying just about any kind of sin. People do this. We've all seen it. While doing terrible sins of lying, cheating, stealing, slandering, holding unforgiveness, fornicating, these people call themselves Christians. And they consider themselves right in what they're doing, yet they'll judge you. They just don't have a conscience. It gets defiled. And that's another terrible trap. Everybody looks and says, how can they do that? Well, their conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. As they self-justify, they become, as 1 Timothy 4:2 said, men that speak lies branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. And that self-justification will let in all kinds of sin and demon spirits. Lying, cheating, stealing, slandering, false prophesying. They do that a lot. and receiving false revelations out of anger. They do that. And I want to bring that out. If correction comes your way, don't deny it. Don't push it back. Receive it. You know, receive it. I know that spirit of rejection a lot of times blocks people from getting blessings from God. Too many instances I've seen that happen. They'll get to a certain level and they don't want to go any further with God. Don't let yourself get in that area. You want that. You want God to do like he did to Von Vuren, Dan Von Vuren over in South Africa. You want God to do what he did for Jesus. You know, I don't want to be like John G. Lake. I want to be like Jesus. Don't y'all? That's what I want. I want that power. I want that love in my heart. Even for those who have come against me, I want to have that love in my heart for them. When you have that, when all of you have that, and we all have it at the same time, whoo, glory to God, one accord. That's it right there, boy, I'm going to tell you. That's when the power of God's going to come down and smack us all. My goodness, you're going to shake the world for Christ. I don't know about y'all, but I get fired up when I talk about that glory of God coming in. Because you know, when that glory, when we come into that one accord, you know what happened to them people up there at Pentecost, don't you? 3,000 people were saved just like that. 3,000, Lord of God, all in one little deal there. And it's going to be even more stouter in the days ahead. Ooh, I'm getting excited. I'll tell you what. We're coming to it, too. It's here. It is here. I'm telling you, if it don't happen next month, I'm going to be really dissatisfied. I'm looking for God to come at any time with his glory and that love that he places in our heart, that one accord. How many have ever prayed and seen God shake things around you? I hadn't seen anything physically shake it, but I sure want to. I haven't been in that. I just confess that. I had never been in a place where I have prayed the shaking of God around us physically. Now, I've been in a place where we prayed, a bunch of us got together and prayed, and the Holy Spirit came in, and there was a fragrance of the Holy Spirit that showed up that I'd never even heard of before. Now, I've experienced that. Some of you may have. Some of you have experienced other kinds of manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In that regard, it was during praise and worship when everybody was praising God with their whole heart that the Spirit of God showed up in that way. But I want that 24/7. I don't want just a little old one day affair. I want to walk in that all the time. I want to be talking to God the Father just like Jesus did, don't y'all? Father, hey, tell me what I'm supposed to do right now. You know, I've got this problem. I need some help here. Glory to God. And he'll tell you just like that. You'll hear it. You got to tune your spiritual mind, your spirit to listen to God. Then he'll do it. Does anybody want to help us out here? Andrew, what you got to say?
I just remembered, like, when you were saying God speaking to you, what it says in Proverbs. I think it's 6:22. In this King James Version, anyway. Oh, it's in there somewhere. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. And of course, here he's talking about his commandments, about his law, about his word for us in this time. And, you know, how did these disciples of Jesus in those first century hear from him? You know, Jesus abided in the Father, and you know, was it a direct communication, just like it says right here? Was it okay, go do this now? And it happens. And that's what my thinking is. I mean, you're going to need to receive some instruction. And I would say that even though you would get instruction, he might not even do it that way either. He might just say that this is what I'm going to do right now, and it's just going to happen. It's just going to perform itself. Actually, he is sovereign, and he doesn't really have to talk to you. He's just going to do it. Because when I was just thinking on some verses there, I remember telling you guys how I went outside and God stopped the misty rain. And I was just thinking on these verses in Ephesians chapter 1, and it stopped the rain. And I went to the store, and I came out from under the trees, and I said, hey, the rain stopped. He answered my prayer, you know. And then I said, okay, you know, I don't want to be anxious about this. Keep that rain stop while I'm in the store. And while I get back home, when I come through my front door, you can start the rain there. And when I came through the front door, I said, Lord, keep the rain stopped if someone else is praying in case he has to get home. And then I put my groceries away, sat down, looked out the window, and it started pouring. And that was kind of... It wasn't an excitement at the time. It was like it was all just happening, and I was going, "What's going on here?" You know, and it's not like I was constantly, you know, begging him for this. It was just happened. You know, I was also going to ask a question if anyone has had any dreams, because I don't really remember my dreams fully, of witnessing to people you've never seen before. I have had a dream there where I walked into this, it looked like an apartment, and there was some young people there, and I sat down at their table. Actually, I asked one of the people in the dream to excuse me so I can have his seat, and I just started witnessing the Lord to them in this dream. And in the midst of the dream, I just said, hey, maybe I should start witnessing to these young people. They might actually listen to me, you know, and could that be practice? I don't know. Could that be something you can ask for and maybe have that practice? Or on other things, you know? So it doesn't get to be a shocker for you or something. I don't know. Anyway, that's some of the things that's going through my mind. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, I believe the Lord can speak to, he spoke to Moses, didn't he? If he spoke to Moses, he can speak to us. He told Moses, he said, pick up your rod, man, and part that water, go on with yourself. And that's, he tells us the same thing. You know, you have a, just like he told me one time, he said, go up to the National Home Center in North Little Rock. He said, I want you to pray for somebody up there. I just knew it. It wasn't that he, we sat down, I looked him at the eyes, you know, it was annoying. He said, I had to go up there. And so I went up there, and of course, the guy came out in a wheelchair, and the Lord told me right then, he said, that's the man I want you to pray for. Well, I prayed for the guy. I wanted to pray for the guy, but he wouldn't let me. He told me to get my hands off of him and get away from him. I said, oh my goodness, what in the world have I done here? I missed the Lord all the way there, you know. But I went back to the truck, and I sat down, and I started praying. I said, Lord, you told me to come up here to pray for this guy, and he didn't want me to pray for him. What's going on? He said, I want to give him one more chance, is what he told me. That was in my spirit. I just knew that's what God had told me. He wanted to give him one more chance. And this was an old guy, very old guy, and he's very angry and very bitter about something. And so I just prayed for him and went on. But, yeah, God can speak to you. He spoke to me audibly, Andrew, one time. when I was very young in the Lord. I couldn't been more than a couple of months in the Lord. And I was y'all probably heard me tell this a number of times, putting on my blue jeans. And I said, Lord, I just love you. He said, I love you too, Michael. Right up here, right up there. I'm talking about right up. And I looked back around. I said, glory to God. What is this? That happened in my bedroom. And he spoke audibly. Of course, you know, it's probably an angel there that God sent. But, yeah, that was awesome. But yeah, God can speak to us, and he will speak to us. We're going to hear it, Andrew, shortly. God's going to speak to his people big time. He's speaking to them now. They just ain't listening. A lot of people just aren't listening. Praise God. This is one way that he speaks to us a lot. Andrew, you know that. He speaks to us a lot in this. He speaks to me a lot in that too. You know, I'll ask him questions. Lord, show me a verse in your word. I got to know this or that or whatever it is. Just like our morning prayer meetings. Judy, you know this for a fact. David will have us ask a question of the Lord, and we'll come in there, and God will just lay it out, bam, 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 and the answer's right there. And it's just amazing. It's amazing. He speaks to us in any number of ways, doesn't he? He speaks to us in all kinds of ways. Praise God. Well, all right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share before we close out? What is today? This is Tuesday, isn't it? What y'all want to talk about Thursday night? Y'all got anything you want to, anybody got anything that really want to talk about? Hang on.
Who is it? One more talk to me?
Yeah, when you get off.
Okay.
We'll be off here in a minute. That's David interrupting me. I should have had my sign out there on the door. I can get on to him now. Somebody was calling me, I guess. Anyway, y'all got any suggestions for Thursday night? One at a time. One at a time. I can't hear all of you. Oh, you know me? I see you, Vanessa. Okay.
Vanessa, I hear you now.
You're trapped here.
I had an idea about talking about hearing from God. And
okay.
I think that's an exciting thing to me. But I don't think I'll be on Thursday. I forgot.
Oh, you're going to come up with a question, and then you ain't going to show up? Come on now. There's something wrong with that thing. Okay. Okay. But you're going to listen to the broadcast, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, there it is, hearing from God. Let's ask the Lord. What's the question?
How can we hear from him more?
Okay, how can we
hear from God more?
Okay, all right. How can we hear God? How can we hear you, God? Okay, how can we hear you, God? Get a word from the Lord about that for Thursday night, and we'll talk about it. And if you think of anything else, if you have any kind of a story or see a story that you hear about, you know, bring it on. I love these encouraging stories that we talk about, you know. I do. All right, anybody got any prayer requests before we close out? What time y'all got? Yeah, it's getting close. Well, Lord, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you, Father, for putting that hunger in our hearts for you, Lord. Lord, put it in our hearts to cry out to you until we hear from you, Lord. Until we get all of us get into that one accord in our hearts together. That golden thread that knitted through our hearts to each other's heart, Lord. We want that, just like that vision that Kurt had years ago about the golden thread knitting our hearts together. Father, we need that, and we need to be in one accord. And we just and the way to get that away, Lord, is to put our eyes on you and to keep our eyes on you, Father, and to stay in the Word and to know, Father, that when we pray, things happen because we believe. And we thank you, Father, for giving us a good night's sleep tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the peace and the joy and the rest that you've given our hearts because you're in charge and we don't have to worry about a thing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're our God. You're a good God. We thank you, Father, that when you chastise us, Lord, it brings us into that righteousness, Lord, and we don't mind it. We just rejoice when it happens. And we thank you for it, Lord. When the tribulations that come upon us, Lord, we rejoice when they do too, because it helps us and grows us up and matures us in you, Lord. And I thank you for all that you're doing in each one of us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, and bless them all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, good night, saints.